Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we live right now in this very moment, as people who are believers in Jesus Christ, who know the Bible is true, what else do we know? We know the world that we are living in is temporary. We know it's coming to an end. And we know, according to the Bible, that the day has already been set. As ones who trust in Jesus, God wants us to be busy in certain ways between now and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to find out about that today. I want to touch on some basics here in the book of Jude. Thinking about Jude himself, he is a half-brother of Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit moved him to write down the particular letter that we're going to look at today. Jude is one of five one-chapter books in the Bible. So of the 66, five of them only have one chapter, and Jude is one of those one-chapter books. Jude is the second to last book in the Bible. So what comes after Jude? That would be, Revelation. So we might not know all the books in between, but we know we start with Genesis and we end with Revelation. So Jude is right there near the end. In the book of Jude, it's warning us to beware of false teachers. Do we have that situation in the world today? By all means, no matter what you're hearing, whether it's on the television, the computer, through your phone, on the radio, it's so important. I don't care who the person is, how famous he is, how many followers he has. It's important, if you're going to listen, take it in and then compare it with the Bible. Don't just believe what anyone is saying. Hey, don't even believe what I'm saying. Check it out in the Word of God. So important. Also here in Jude, now this is earlier on before we get to the part we're focusing on. He reminds us of God's desire to save. Thank God for that. But he also reminds us of God's coming punishment upon the ungodly. And then right after that, he goes into a list of describing the characteristics of people who are ungodly. Let me share some of those with you now. I hope none of these words apply to any of us, but if they do, what is God saying to us? God is saying to us, repent. Repent now. Repent today. He mentioned ungodly ones as people who are grumblers, fault finders, lustful, arrogant, mockers, dividers, worldly minded, and devoid of the Spirit. As we get into the letter itself, we're going to pick up in verse 20, and basically the section we're looking at, what God is telling us through this letter, he is saying, you know a little bit about the ungodly, and he's calling us to be the opposite of the ungodly. So as we're waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's be the opposite of the ungodly. Now, is that going to save us if we're real careful in not going into these ungodly things? No, salvation is always, always about Jesus alone. He is the Son of God. He lived a perfect life. He took our punishment. He paid the full price. What he did is fully sufficient. However, though, as ones who are the children of God, we should show that in how we are proceeding moment by moment in our lives. So getting to the text here, we're picking up in verse 20, and I'm stating here what to do as we wait for Jesus. The Bible says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. It might sound a little bit complicated, but we're going to look at these three things here. So we're going to look at the topic of building up our faith, praying in the Spirit, remaining in God's love. So first of all, building up our faith, well, that's a simple thing. We are to learn the Word of God, and then we are to do the Word of God. I'm thinking of that passage there in James chapter 1. chapter 1, verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. So if we're only hearing the word of God and we're not doing it, we are really deceiving ourselves. God is saying, don't be that way. So when we think about our physical bodies, we understand if we eat healthy and if we exercise, that's going to be a good thing for us physically. So really, what is God saying? God is saying, take my word into you and then do what that word says. It's a simple thing. It might not be easy, but understanding the concept is simple. May God help us to do it. And then it talked in there about praying in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means to pray in agreement with the Word of God. In other words, to take the Bible and to pray it back to God. Let me give you an example. So last week, I touched on Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, those who follow me are salt and light. So thinking about that topic, see, Jesus has told that to us. We are salt and light. So we could take that section of the Bible and maybe pray like this. We could pray, Lord, as salt and light make a positive difference, so use me to make a positive difference in the lives of others. Does that make sense? So we have this concept in the Bible, and now we're praying it back to God. And then it's said to remain in God's love. How do we do that? Well, we remain in God's love as we remain in harmony with the Word of God. So here we are, we're into the Word of God, we know the Word of God, we're being in harmony with the Word of God. But what else did it say there in the text, though? So as we are in harmony with the Word, we are waiting anxiously, it said, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds like a bad thing, doesn't it? Does God want us to be anxious? No. A little bit better way to put it, I think, is we're not so much waiting anxiously, but we are anticipating, or we are longing to receive the fullness of eternal life. God wants us to know that through faith in Jesus, right now, we have the gift of eternal life. Is this all there is? It's not. That's the good news. So there is a fullness that is coming, and God wants us to be looking forward to that. And then going further in our text here, how to care about others. The Bible says, and have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. So we're going to look at these three topics now, building up doubting ones, saving burning ones, showing mercy with fear. Let's try to understand those things a little bit better. So first of all, building up doubting ones, if we know someone who is somewhat open to the Word of God, but yet they're doubting various things. They're doubting that God created the world. Maybe they're doubting that Jesus could really be the Son of God and things like that. What are we going to do? We're going to care about those people. We're going to kindly share the Word of God with them, and we're going to be patient with them. Now, if we just share something with them and they don't believe it, we're like, okay, I'm going to write that guy off. That's it. Well, no, we're going to be patient with them. We're going to work with them. We're going to share something and say, do you understand that? Do you have any questions? And we're going to just keep working with them so the Holy Spirit might work within their hearts and minds and open them up to the truth and show them the way and bring them to Christ. So we want to build up the doubting ones, and then God wants to use us to save the burning ones. How do we do that? Think about somebody who is definitely outside the kingdom of God, and maybe they're living in open sin, and a lot of times we might have a tendency to say, I'm going to judge that guy. That guy's a rotten, no good person, and I want nothing to do with him. Is that the way to look at it? Is that going to help save a burning one? Not at all. So rather than judge them, God is calling us to love them unconditionally. How has God loved us rotten sinners? God has loved us unconditionally. So because we have received the love of God, now we can extend the love of God. So may God help us to love other people unconditionally. And then, after we do that and we have their attention, let us kindly warn them about the coming judgment, and then let us call them to repent and believe. So these are ways to save burning ones. But what should we keep in mind, though? At all times, let's remember, we can love, we can warn, we can call, but we cannot save anyone. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit, who ultimately connects them to Christ, who ultimately does the saving. But let us fully do our part, and then let us trust in God to do the most important part, the actual saving. And then it talked about showing mercy with fear. We're talking here about kind of a tug of war, if you will. So we have someone who is in sin, and here we are trying to pull that person out of that sin. But what is that person trying to do? They're trying to pull us into the sin. So did you notice what it said in the text there? It said, "On some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." It's kind of hard to understand, but I think what it's talking about here is God wants us to, as we're trying to pull them out of their sin, we should thoroughly hate the sin that they're living in. We have to thoroughly hate the sin so we're not pulled into the sin. If we don't hate that sin, then we should probably stay away from that situation, because it's going to be too easy for us to get pulled in. Think about what it says there in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." So here is this sinner, and we're trying to associate with him to help him, and yet what could happen is that he could pull us right in to what he is doing. So God is saying, be so careful. And then at the end here, we come to focusing on God. So we have a benediction here at the end of Jude. It says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen." So, three things here. God has saved us, so what has he done? God has come to us, God has washed us clean, God has clothed us in the perfect life of Jesus, and God has brought us into his kingdom. So it's God, God, God. God has done it all. And then what else does God do? God keeps us in the faith. Think about what it says in Philippians chapter 1. "God who began a good work in you will perfect it," or we could translate here, "will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So here is God at work in baptism. So God began our salvation. God saved us right there. God is working to keep us saved, and he's doing it all the way to the end of our lives, all the way to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So does that mean that, like going down a hill with our car, we just kick it in neutral and we just coast? We don't have to do anything. Well, no. Just like I was with the kids and trying to help them understand that it's important to do hard things, there are a lot of hard things I mentioned here today about building up our faith, praying in the Spirit, remaining in God's love. These are not easy things, but God is calling us to be those ways so that God can keep us strong in Christ, and God can use us to be a blessing to others, to build up the doubting ones, to save the burning ones, to show mercy with fear. So going to this passage from Jesus here in Luke chapter 13, Jesus said, "Strive to enter." What are we talking about here? We're talking about entering into heaven. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. So people who are going to kick it into neutral and think they're going to coast into heaven, what's going to happen? The forces of evil are going to get a hold of us and they're going to pull us away from Jesus. So understand, being saved, God did all of that. We could do nothing. God did everything. But let's understand that now that we are saved, now the Holy Spirit is living within us. And now, as God gives us the ability, we can cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we do cooperate, because if we don't, that's going to be a bad situation. The Bible says, do not quench the Spirit. The Spirit is there to work powerfully, and if we're going to keep resisting the Spirit, it's going to be a bad situation for us. So God wants us to be aware of the Spirit's work. How does He work in a primary way? He works through the Bible. So it's so important that we are in the Bible and open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's remember what God has done, what God is continuing to do, but let's also do all that we can in order to grow up in the Word of God and to honor God with our lives. And we can be certain that when the time comes, God will welcome us into heaven. One final thought here. So God deserves all our praise. That's what we had here at the end of Jude. So thinking about Him deserving all of our praise, I would ask you to try to identify every good thing that God has given you. Now, this isn't the Thanksgiving sermon here. I want you to come back on Wednesday evening. But anyway, try to identify every good thing that God has given you. Now, you might have to do that later, because it's probably going to be a pretty long list. But anyway, identify every good thing and then say, wow, look at all this stuff. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Well, I think I have the answer right here in James chapter 1. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So when we think about every good thing and we realize it's all come from our great God, how can we not praise Him every day? How can we not thank Him every moment until we are finally with Him forever? Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us in countless ways. Now, as we await Jesus' return, help us to hold loosely the things of this temporary life and help us to increase our grip on eternal things, namely, increase our grip on your Son, your Word, our holy living, and our spiritual concern for others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.